Okay, so as Damien said earlier, we're going to be talking about the power of words this morning. So I'm going to be reading a passage from James, as you might expect, entitled Taming the Tongue. This is a really challenging passage, and it's in chapter 3 of James, and it's verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. They are able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and they're driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also like a fire, a world of evil amongst the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, but also with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this shouldn't be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. I'll hand you over to Damien.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Damien. I'm the pastor of Hope Church, and I find it is really encouraging to be together on live stream. Even though we can't meet together for the time being, the fact that we can be together online is a real encouragement. I've had feedback from some of you this week just saying how much you appreciate the opportunity to be together in worship, even though we can't be together in a physical space. Hopefully that day will come sooner rather than later. In the meantime, just to let you know that we're still making inquiries about a venue where we can drive the big blue bus onto a car park and have drive-in church, and we'll keep you updated about that in due course. Also, to let you know, for those of you who are perhaps new to the church, you've just joined us during lockdown, you may visit us when we go back to a physical space, but there are lots of ways for you to get connected even during this time. One of the best ways to get connected is to join one of our midweek groups. We call them life groups, and they're a wonderful way to meet people, make friendships, study the Bible together, and encourage one another on our journey towards Jesus. So here is a testimony or two of people who are part of life groups to encourage you this morning.
It's very important to be in a life group. I belong to the Farnborough Close life group, and since myself and my wife have joined the group, it's been a wonderful experience. The group has helped me to grow. We share many things spiritual. We look at the Word, and we always pray together. It's been a wonderful experience, and it's been really nice just being in a small group than being a large group in church. I will implore anyone that it's very nice, very wonderful to join a life group. Thank you.
Yeah, the life group at Farnborough Close has been a lifeline to me. The hosts are really, really lovely and welcoming. They welcome us into their home every Wednesday. We share the word, we sing praises to God, and we just have conversations. And also, they are very, very hospitable. They give us tea and coffee and snacks. So it's really lovely. We have a really lovely time there. Apart from that, I've been able to make friends and prayer partner from the group. So it's really wonderful in building us up as Christians and in helping us support each other. Thank you.
Hi, Hope Church. I just want to share with you why I love being part of a home group. It means a lot to me. I look forward to it every Wednesday that I can be with friends, because that's what we've become now. I've been going to the home group for about a year now, and I feel like we're all friends there. We're starting to know each other and understand each other. Sometimes we have a really good laugh. Sometimes there's quite sad things shared, and we all feel for each other. But that's what I like about it. We do. We laugh together. We learn together. And we're sad together. And it's about sharing God's word more than anything. But we do share ourselves, and we get to know each other at a deeper level. When we're studying God's word, we're sharing what we personally feel it's saying to us. So it can be different for different members of the group, because it's personal what God's saying to them. And it's good to hear what God's saying to somebody else, completely different to what's saying to you on the same verse. You learn more from it. I just think it's brilliant fellowship. It tides you over through the week to join to next week's service when you meet again. And I love it. At the moment, we're on Zoom, and although we're not physically together, we feel like we are. It's good to see your friends again and to hear what they've got to say. It's really good fun. It's really important for learning and fellowship. God tells us to have fellowship, and that's important too. And we're reading his word, and we're praying together. So it's all good stuff, and I highly recommend it to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. So if you would like to find out more about life groups, go onto our website. All of the information about life groups is on there. And also you can sign up directly by pressing one of the buttons on any of the pages connected to the life groups. So please do check that out. We encourage everybody in the church to be part of a life group. So today we're going to be speaking about the power of our words. I've been reflecting a lot in the last couple of weeks about how I use my words, because sometimes inadvertently I've spoken words that have hurt people, or it might be that I felt a bit discouraged because of different things that have been happening in my life, and then somebody has sent a message through to me that has just lifted me and made me feel stronger in the Lord, and the power of encouragement. So today we're going to be looking at the power of words. This passage in James is a very famous passage speaking about this subject, and there's some lessons that I'd like to draw out. First of all, I heard a story recently of, during lockdown, of course, we weren't able to go to cafes and restaurants, but last week things opened up a little bit more. So a man went into a cafe. He was the only person in there apart from the person behind the counter. So he ordered his coffee and he sat down at a stool, and then the person behind the counter wandered away. So he was the only person in the room, but then he heard a voice, and the voice said, "Hey, I really like your hair." And he looked around and he thought, "Who's that?" And then he said, "I really like your shoes. They're so shiny. They look so expensive. They really make you look smart." And again, he looked around and there was nobody in the room, and he was thinking, "What's going on?" And then the voice came again. You've got some really great combinations of colors on there. You look really, really smart." And so he was asking himself, "Where is this voice coming from?" And then the man came back and stood behind the counter. He said, "Listen, I'm a bit confused. I'm the only one in here, but I'm getting all of these compliments, all of these things that are nice about my appearance, and I don't know where they're coming from." And he said, "Oh, that'll be the peanuts. They're complimentary." Yeah, it was bad, I know. The power of words. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says this: "The tongue has the power of life and death." And we see that reality in our lives. Proverbs 15, verse 4 says something similar. It says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but the perverse tongue crushes the spirit. And all of us have experienced the power of words in our lives, the power to build up and the power to crush. We know very well that if a child is brought up in a home where they're told every day that they're loved, where they're encouraged and supported, and words of affirmation come their way, that they can thrive in that environment. We also know the opposite is true, that if a child grows up in a house where they're told every day that they're stupid and they feel worthless and they're criticized, that it causes all sorts of problems later in life. In James chapter 3, James uses a number of illustrations to talk about the power of the tongue. He uses three pictures, in fact, to talk about the fact that although the tongue is small as a part of our body, it has a great amount of influence. So the first picture he uses is the picture of a bit in a horse's mouth. And the bit, of course, is part of the bridle. When a rider is sitting on a horse, they steer the horse using the bit in the horse's mouth. It's a small part of the equipment that a horse rider uses, but it can steer the whole animal, even though it's so small. And then in verse 4, the picture of a rudder on a boat is used. And so we know that a boat can be huge or small, and the rudder at the back of the boat is, in comparison to the size of the boat, really tiny. But that small rudder can change the course of the boat's direction. Even though the boat can be big and the waves could be crashing in, that small rudder can change the direction of the boat. And then in verse 5, he talks about a spark, a tiny little spark that can set off a forest fire. And then in verse 5, he says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but makes great boasts. Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a restless evil among the parts of the body, setting the whole course of one's life on fire, and it can be itself set on fire by hell. And then it talks about how no human can tame the tongue because it's sometimes a restless evil full of deadly poison. And the hypocrisy that James points out in the fact that we can use our tongue to praise God, or we can use our tongue to criticize and to pull others down. Out of the same mouth comes praise for God and curses for people. And he says this should not be the case. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? A couple of weeks ago, I was in a meeting with some of the other elders, and we were doing some feedback about the live stream. And we've been on a steep learning curve with the live stream, and I remember sitting in that meeting and people were feeding back about the small number of things that we could do to improve on what we were doing, and they were all really good things. But I remember sitting there thinking, well, you've mentioned this that we can do better and that we can do better, but what about all the things that we're doing well, and don't you know all of the, you know, the time we've been spending, you know, pouring our lives into this? And I was feeling this self-pity rise up in me. It wasn't their fault. They were doing exactly what they should have been doing, but I was sitting there just feeling this self-pity rising up in me. And for a couple of days I was dwelling on things, until it must have been my boys or someone else mentioned the fact that this wasn't like me. I wasn't being myself. And then I brought those things to the Lord. And I was saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. What this has done is it's exposed something in my heart. And then the next week, without any of the elders mentioning this conversation to anybody, I had a card come through the door just saying, oh, we so appreciate the live stream and thank you so much for everything that you've been doing. And people sent emails and messages, and it was like from the week before, where I felt this self-pity because nobody had appreciated what was going on, I suddenly had all of these encouragements. And I'm not saying that so that you'll write in and encourage me. What I'm saying is I felt this self-pity, and it wasn't godly, and God deeply challenged me about it. But the following week, I received encouragement that just made me feel strong inside and strengthened me to continue to do what God had been calling us to do during this season. And I realized that there's so much power in encouragement. And actually, if you think of the word encouragement, it's encourage, to give courage to. And so Many of us use our words to criticize or to build up. We get to choose how to do it. The elders, by the way, are the most encouraging group of people that I've ever spent time with. They are amazing. They did nothing wrong. All of the stuff was in my heart that day. But I've also, in the last little while, become aware that my words carry power. And so, you know, sometimes even without realizing it, I can say things with a bit of an edge, or I can be, you know, lacking in thoughtfulness, and my words can actually cause pain to other people. They can cause hurt to other people. And I've had to spend some time with the Lord in the last couple of weeks just repenting for how my words have caused pain to other people. Our words are powerful to the building up of people or to the bringing down of people. There's literally life and death in our words. And there's a couple of things I just wanted to bring today, which I thought might be helpful as we think about the whole subject of the power of our words. The first is this, that our words are actually a test of where we are with God. In Matthew 15, verse 11, it says this, "It's not what goes into a person's mouth that defiles them, but what comes out of their mouth." Matthew 12, verse 34 says something similar. It says, "Out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks." In other words, what's in our hearts will be what comes out of our mouths. And we can fake it, you know, we can pretend and try really hard to tame our tongue, but really our tongue will betray whatever's in our hearts, especially when we're under pressure. And so I would encourage you to look at your words, to listen to your words, to listen to those who are on the receiving end of your words, because they're normally a good indication of what's in our hearts and where we are with God at any one moment. The second thing I would say is it reveals who we agree with. Our words reveal who we agree with. Let me explain. In John 10, verse 10, it says this, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's the father of lies, and he hates the children of God. In fact, he hates full stop. And his role is to steal, to kill, and to destroy." But then Jesus goes on to say, "But I have come that they may have life, and life in all of its fullness." He's the father of light. And when I use my words to agree with what the enemy wants to achieve in a person's life, I'm actually lining my life up and my words up with his agenda. But when I use my words to bring blessing and to build other people up, I'm actually agreeing with my Father in heaven and bringing blessing and being a channel of his life and his light, his love and his encouragement to the people around me. In verse 6 of James chapter 3, it talks about our tongue being set on fire by hell. And so I'm asking myself the question, and you with me this morning, who is our words agreeing with? A useful illustration might be if you saw a building and there were two kind of pipes, each with water coming out of them. The first pipe had sewage coming out of it. It was dirty and it was disgusting. And the second pipe had fresh water coming out of it. You have a glass in your hand and you're thinking, I need to fill my glass with water. How do I fill my glass with water? Well, it might be that I take a length of guttering that's lying on the floor and then I line my guttering up with one of the flows of water. And so do I put it under the first pipe or do I put it under the second pipe? Whichever pipe I put my guttering under, that's what will flow into my glass. And so this morning, if we are wanting the blessing of God to flow into our hearts and from our hearts, out of our mouths, into the lives of other people, we need to be spending time in the Word of God, in the presence of God, with God's people, praising God, and use our lips to express the purposes of God in this world. Do you realize this morning that you speak on behalf of Jesus if you're a Christian? I have seen the destructive power of gossip. I've seen it destroy a church that I was part of when I was younger. I've seen gossip wreck people's reputations. I've seen people talk about others behind their back in a way that wills the person that's being spoken to think less of the one that's being spoken about. I've seen the destructive power of gossip and criticism. But do we realize that when we use our words like that, we're actually agreeing with the enemy who would love to destroy God's people? And we are complicit then in him seeing his purposes worked out in the body of Christ. Or are we those people who, behind people's back, bless and build up? I love to say to people, listen, I was having a conversation with someone the other day about you, and he was saying all sorts of nice things about you behind your back. I love saying stuff like that. And it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if when the people of God meet together, when Christians meet together, that we use our words to build up and to make people bigger in the things of God, and use our words to speak the truth and the reality of God's word into people's lives. Ephesians 4, verse 21 says this: don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Who are we agreeing with today? Are our words agreeing with God and his purposes? Are our words lining up with the truth of his word? Are we declaring what is true rather than the lies that we have believed and others have told us? Or are our words lining up with the enemy and his purposes to kill, to steal, and to destroy? That's a big challenge for each one of us. I want to finish today by praying a prayer. Psalm 19 contains these words, and I'd like to finish just by praying this as a prayer over us as a church family this morning. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my strength. And I pray this for my brothers and sisters in the Hope Church family, in the name of Jesus. Amen.